Michael Aldridge, Sarah Bedell, Pauline Letts, John McAndrew, and Aubrey Woods in The Winslow Boy by Terence Rattigan. A house in Courtfield Gardens, South Kensington, London, on a morning in July, at some period not long before the First World War.
Master Ronnie!
Hello, Violet.
Well, aren't you coming in? We weren't expecting you back till Tuesday.
Yes, I know.
Where's your luggage?
They're sending it on.
Why ever didn't you let us know you were coming, you silly boy? What your father and mother will say, I don't know.
Where are they, Violet?
Church, of course.
Oh, yes. It's Sunday, isn't it?
What's the matter with you? What have they been doing to you at Osborne?
What do you mean?
Well, they seem to have made you a bit soft in the head or something. Well, don't I get a kiss? Or are you too grown up for that now?
Sorry, Violet.
That's better. My, what a big boy you're getting. Quite the little naval officer, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
Well, oh, I must be getting on. Oh, they'll be so pleased to see you.
Oh, dear. What am I to do? Oh, here they are. Oh, I can't face them. I'll go into the garden.
But he's so old, dear. From the back of the church, you really can't hear a word he says.
He's a good man, Grace.
Oh, but what's the use of being good if you're inaudible?
A problem in ethics for you, Father.
There's a draft, Grace. The French window is open.
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I'm on Mother's side. The old boy's so doddery, he can hardly finish the course at all.
I don't think that's very funny, Richard.
Oh, don't you, Father?
Doddery, though Mr. Jackson may seem now, I very much doubt if he failed in his past mods when he was at Oxford.
Oh, dash it. Father, you promised not to mention that again this back.
You did, you know, Arthur. But, old Dickie, I wish you were as good about work as Ronnie.
I know. He got into Osborne and I failed. That's going to be brought up again?
Nobody's bringing it up, dear.
Oh, yes, they are. It's going to be brought up against me all my life. Ronnie's the good little boy, I'm the bad little boy. They've just stuck a couple of labels on us that nothing on earth is ever going to change.
Oh, how stupid of him to say that about labels. There's no truth in it at all, is there, Kate?
No, Mother.
Oh, dear, it's simply pelting. What are you reading, Kate?
Len Rogers' memoirs.
Who's Len Rogers?
A trades union leader.
Does John know you're a radical?
Oh, yes.
And a suffragette?
Certainly.
And he still wants to marry you?
He seems to.
Oh, by the way, I've asked him to come early for lunch so that he can have a few words with Father first.
Good idea. I hope you've been primed, have you, Father?
What's that?
You know what you're going to say to John, don't you? You're not going to let me down and forbid the match or anything, are you? Because I warn you, if you do, I shall elope.
Never fear, my dear. I'm far too delighted at the prospect of getting you off our hands at last.
I'm not sure I like that, at last.
Do you love him, dear?
John? Yes, I do.
You're such a funny girl. You never show your feelings much, do you? You don't behave as if you were in love.
How does one behave as if one is in love?
One doesn't read Len Rogers, one reads Byron.
I do both.
An odd combination.
A satisfying one.
No, I meant you don't talk about him much, do you?
No, I suppose I don't, Mother. I love John in every way that a woman can love a man, and far, far more than he loves me. Does that satisfy you?
Well, really, Kate, darling, I didn't ask for anything quite like that. Oh, John. Look at that rain. Kate, darling, does Desmond know about you and John?
I haven't told him. On the other hand, if he hasn't guessed, he must be very dense.
He is very dense.
Oh, no, he's quite clever. Kate, you will be kind to him, won't you?
Yes, Mother, of course I will.
He's really a very good sort. Hello. There's someone in the garden.
Where?
Over there, do you see?
No.
He's just gone behind that bush. It was a boy, I think. Probably Mrs. Williamson's awful little Dennis.
Well, whoever it is must be getting terribly wet.
Why can't he stick to his own garden? Oh, was that John?
It sounded like it.
Yes, it's John. Quick, in the dining room.
Very well, Mother.
What on earth is going on?
We're leaving you alone with John. When you finished, cough or something.
What do you mean, or something?
Captain Weatherstone.
How are you, John? I'm very glad to see you.
How do you do, sir?
Will you forgive me not getting up? My arthritis has been troubling me rather a lot lately.
Yes.
Do you smoke?
Yes, sir, I do, thank you. In moderation, of course.
Of course. Mother, I understand you wish to marry my daughter.
Yes, sir. That's to say, I've proposed to her and she's done me the honour of accepting me.
I see. Just when you corrected yourself, your second statement wasn't a denial of your first.
Sir?
I mean, you do really wish to marry her.
Of course, sir.
Perhaps you won't mind if I ask you a few rather personal questions.
Naturally not, sir. It's your duty.
Quite so. Now, your income. Are you able to live on it?
No, sir. I'm in the regular army.
Yes, of course.
But my army pay is supplemented by an allowance from my father.
So I understand. Now, your father's would be, I take it, about £24 a month?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
So that your total income with your subaltern's pay and allowances plus the allowance from your father would be, I take it, about £420 a year?
Again, exactly the figure.
Very well. It all seems to be perfectly satisfactory. I really don't think I need delay my congratulations any longer.
Thank you, sir, very much.
Must say it was very good of you to be so frank and informed.
Not at all.
Your answers to my questions deserve an equal frankness from me about Catherine's own affairs. I'm afraid she's not, just in case you thought otherwise, the daughter of a rich man.
I didn't think otherwise, sir.
Good. Well, now to continue about my own financial affairs. The Westminster Bank pay me a small pension, 350 to be precise, and my wife has about 200 a year of her own. Apart from that, we have nothing except such savings as I've been able to make during my career at the bank, the interest from which raises my total income to approximately £800 per annum. In addition to the ordinary expenses of life, I have to maintain two sons, Ronnie at Osborne and Dickie at Oxford, neither of whom, I'm afraid, will be in a position to support themselves for some time to come. One because of his extreme youth, and the other because of other reasons. So you see, I'm not in a position to be very lavish as regards Catherine's dowry.
No, sir, I quite see that.
I propose to settle on her 1/6 of my total capital, which, worked out to the final fraction, is exactly £833.06.08. But let us deal in round figures and say £850.
I call that very generous, sir.
Not as generous as I would have liked, I'm afraid. However, as my wife would say, beggars can't be choosers.
Exactly, sir.
Well, then, if you're agreeable to that arrangement, I don't think there's anything more we need discuss.
No, sir.
Splendid.
Oh, John.
Ah, well, imagine that. My wife and daughter are in here, of all places. Come in, Grace. Come in, Catherine. John's here.
Why, John, how nice. Well?
Well, what?
How did your little talk go?
I understood you weren't supposed to know we were having a little talk.
Oh, you are infuriating. Is everything all right, John?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so glad. I really am.
No, thank you, Mrs. Wesley.
May I kiss you? After all, I'm practically your mother now.
Yes, of course.
Grace, I think we might allow ourselves a little modest celebration at luncheon. Will you find me the key of the cellar?
Oh, yes, dear. I don't suppose you two will mind being left alone for a few minutes, will you?
Was it an ordeal?
I was scared to death.
My poor darling.
My annoying thing was that I had a whole set of neatly turned phrases ready for him, and he wouldn't let me use them.
Such as?
Oh, how proud and honoured I was by your acceptance of me, and how determined I was to make you a loyal and devoted husband.
Anything about loving me a little?
Well, that I thought we could take for granted. Well, so did your father, incidentally.
What about your father? How did he take it?
All right.
I bet he didn't. He disapproves of me, doesn't he? He has a way of looking at me through his monocle that shrivels me out.
He's just being a colonel, darling, that's all. All colonels look at you like that. Anyway, what about the way your father looks at me? Tell me, are all your family as scared of him as I am?
Dickie is, of course. And Ronnie, though he doesn't need to be. Father worships him. I don't know about Mother being scared of him. Sometimes, perhaps. I'm not. Ever.
You're not scared of anything, are you?
Oh, yes. Heaps of things.
Such as?
Oh, They're nearly all concerned with you.
Oh, you might be a little more explicit.
Ronnie! What on earth?
Where's Father?
Well, I'll go and tell him.
No, don't. Please, Kate, don't.
Well, what's the trouble, Ronnie? Oh, you're wet through. You'd better go and change.
No.
What's the trouble, darling? You can tell me.
Well...
I'll disappear.
In the dining room. Do you mind?
No, of course not.
Now, darling, tell me, what is it? Have you run away?
No.
What is it, then?
There's this letter.
Show me. Oh, God.
I didn't do it, Kate. I didn't, really, I didn't.
No, darling. This letter is addressed to Father. Did you open it?
Yes.
You shouldn't have done that.
I was going to tear it up. Then I heard you come in from church. Kate, shall we tear it up now?
No, darling.
Hello, Ronnie, old lad. How's everything?
You knew he was here?
Oh, yes, Violet told me. Trouble?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You stay here with him. I'll find Mother.
All right. Oh. What's up, old chap?
Nothing.
Come on, tell me.
It's all right.
Have you been sacked?
Yes.
Bad luck. What for?
Stealing.
Oh, is that all? Good Lord, I didn't know they sacked chaps for that these days.
I didn't do it.
Oh, believe me, old chap's pinching's nothing. Nothing at all. I see you're a bit damp, aren't you?
Well, I've been out in the rain.
So you're shivering a bit too, aren't you? Oh, wouldn't you go and change? I mean, we don't want you catching pneumonia.
I'm all right.
Oh, Ron, my poor child. Oh, darling, darling, it's all right now.
I didn't do it, Mother.
No, no, of course you didn't. We'll go upstairs now, shall we, and get out of these nasty wet clothes.
Don't tell Father.
No, darling, not yet, I promise. Come along now. Oh, your new uniform, too. What a shame.
I'd better go and keep KV for them. Ward off the old man if he looks like going upstairs.
Yes, do.
I'm crazy. Who's going to break the news to him eventually? I mean, someone will have to.
Oh, don't let's worry about that now.
Well, you can count me out. In fact, I don't want to be within 1,000 miles of that explosion.
Oh. John?
Bad news?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
That's rotten for you. I'm awfully sorry.
How can people be so cruel?
Expelled, I suppose.
Yes. Oh, God, how little imagination some people have. Why should they torture a child of that age, John? What's the point of it?
Well, what's he supposed to have done?
Stolen some money.
Oh.
10 days ago, it said in the letter. Why on earth didn't they let us know?
It does seem pretty heartless, I admit.
Heartless? Just think what that poor little creature has been going through these last 10 days down there, entirely alone, without anyone to look after him, knowing what he had to face at the end of it. Is it any wonder he's nearly out of his mind? It's cold, calculated inhumanity. God, how I'd love to have that commanding officer here for just 2 minutes.
Darling, it's quite natural you should feel angry about it, but you must remember, he's not really at school. He's in the service.
So what difference does that make?
I'm sorry, Catherine. Darling, I'd have done better to keep my mouth shut.
No. What you said was perfectly true.
Believe me, I'm awfully sorry. How will your father take it?
It might kill him. Oh, heavens, we've got Desmond to lunch. I'd forgotten.
Who?
Desmond Curry, our family solicitor. Oh, Lord. Darling, be polite to him, won't you?
Why? Am I usually so rude to your guests?
No, but he doesn't know about us yet.
Well, who does?
Yes, but he's been in love with me for years. It's a family joke.
Oh.
Mr. Curry.
Hello, Desmond.
Catherine.
I don't think you know John Weatherstone.
No. But of course I've heard a lot about him.
How do you do?
Well, well, well. I trust I'm not early.
No, dead on time, Desmond, as always.
Ah, capital, capital.
Tell me, Desmond,
I'm so sorry.
That's quite all right. I was only going to ask how you did in your cricket match yesterday, Desmond.
Ah, not too well, I'm afraid. My shoulder's still giving me trouble.
Oh.
Well, well, here I am to congratulate you both.
Desmond, you know.
Violet told me just now in the hall. Yes, I must congratulate you both.
Oh, thank you so much, Desmond.
Thank you.
Oh. Hello, Desmond, dear.
Hello, Mrs. Winslow.
I've got him to bed, Kate.
Oh, good.
Nobody ill, I hope?
Oh, no, no, no. Nothing wrong at all.
Violet, bring in some glasses, will you?
Yes, sir.
Grace, when did we last have the cellars seen to...
I can't remember, dear.
Well, they're in a shocking condition. Well, Desmond, how are you? You're not looking well.
Am I not? I have strained my shoulder, you know.
Well, why do you play these ridiculous games of yours? Resign yourself to the onrush of middle age and abandon them, my dear Desmond.
No, I could never do that. Not give up cricket, not altogether.
Are you any relation of D.W.H. Curry, who used to play for Middlesex?
I am D.W.H. Curry.
Didn't you know we had a great man in the room?
Gosh. Do you know you used to be a schoolboy hero of mine?
Did I? Did I indeed?
Gosh, D.W.H. Curry in person. Well, I'd never have thought it.
Yes, I know. Very few people would nowadays.
I thought we'd try a little of the Madeira before luncheon. We're celebrating, you know, Desmond.
Arthur.
My wife's 54th birthday.
Oh, Arthur, really?
It's all right, Father. Desmond knows.
Yes, indeed. It's wonderful news, isn't it? I'll most gladly drink a toast to the,
Happy pair, I think, is the phrase that is eluding you.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was looking for something new to say.
A forlorn quest, my dear Desmond.
Arthur, really, you mustn't be so rude.
I meant, naturally, that no one, with the possible exception of Voltaire, could find anything new to say about an engaged couple. Ah, my dear Dickie, just in time for a glass of Madeira in celebration of Kate's engagement to John.
The glasses, sir.
Oh, thank you, Violet.
Oh, is that all finally spliced up now? Kate definitely being entered for the marriage stakes? Good egg.
Oh, Dickie.
Quite so. I should have added just now, with the possible exception of Voltaire and Dickie Winslow. take these round, will you, Violet?
Yes, sir.
Are we allowed to drink our own health?
I think it's permissible.
Oh, no, no, it's bad luck.
Oh, we defy augury, don't we, Kate?
Thank you, Violet.
You mustn't say that, John, dear. I know you can drink each other's healths. That's all right.
Are my wife's superstitious terrors finally allayed? Good. Catherine and John.
Catherine and John.
Ah, Violet. We mustn't leave you out. You must join this toast.
Well, thank you, sir. Oh, not too much, sir, please. Just a sip.
Quite so. Your reluctance would be more convincing if I hadn't noticed you'd brought an extra glass.
Oh, I didn't bring it for myself, sir. I brought it for Master Ronnie.
Oh. Master Ronnie isn't due back from Osborne until Tuesday, Violet.
Well, I saw him with me own two eyes, sir. As large as life. Just before you come in from church. And then I heard Mrs. Winslow talking to him in his room.
Grace, what does this mean?
Well, all right, Violet. You can go.
Yes, miss.
Catherine, did you know Ronnie was back?
Yes.
And you, Dickie?
Yes, Father.
Grace?
Well, we thought it best you shouldn't know for the time being. Only for the time being, Arthur.
Is the boy ill?
No, Father. He's not ill.
Well, someone tell me what has happened, please.
He brought this letter for you, Arthur.
Read it to me, please.
Oh, Arthur, not in front of...
Read it to me, please.
It's all right, Mother.
Confidential. I am commanded by my Lord Commissioners of the Admiralty to inform you that they have received a communication from the commanding officer of the Royal Naval College at Osborne reporting the theft of a 5-shilling postal order at the college. Investigation of the circumstances of the case leaves no other conclusion possible than that the postal order was taken by your son, Cadet Ronald Arthur Winslow. My lords deeply regret that they must therefore request you to withdraw your son from the college. It's signed by someone. I can't quite read his name.
Desmond, be so good as to call Violet.
Yes, of course.
Violet, will you come in for a moment?
Yes, sir.
Violet, will you ask Master Ronnie to come down and see me, please?
Arthur, he's in bed.
You told me he wasn't ill.
Well, he's not at all well.
Do as I say, please, Violet.
Very good, sir.
Perhaps the rest of you would go in to luncheon. Grace, would you take them in?
Arthur, don't you think...
Dickie, will you decant that bottle of claret I have brought up from the cellar? I put it on the sideboard in the dining room.
Yes, Father.
Oh, will you go in, Desmond and John?
Yes, sir.
Arthur.
Yes, Grace.
Please don't.
What mustn't I do?
Please don't forget he's only a child.
Come along, Mother.
Oh, dear.
Come in. Come in and shut the door. Come over here. Why aren't you in your uniform?
It got wet.
How did it get wet?
I was out in the garden in the rain.
Why?
I was hiding.
From me?
Yes.
Do you remember once you promised me that if ever you were in trouble of any sort, you would come to me first?
Yes, Father.
Why didn't you come to me now? Why did you have to go and hide in the garden?
I don't know, Father.
Are you so frightened of me?
I...
In this letter, it says you stole a postal order. Now, I don't want you to say a word until you've heard what I've got to say. If you did it, you must tell me. I shan't be angry with you, Ronnie, provided you tell me the truth. But if you tell a lie, I shall know it. Because a lie between you and me can't be hidden. I shall know it, Ronnie. So remember that before you speak. Did you steal this postal order?
No, Father, I didn't.
Did you steal this postal order?
No, Father, I didn't.
Go on. Back to bed.
Yes, Father.
And in future, I trust that a son of mine will at least show enough sense to come in out of the rain.
Yes, Father.
Hello? Are you there? I want to put a trunk call through, please. A trunk call? Yes. The Royal Naval College, Osborne. That's right. A replace the receiver, certainly.
Mr. Winslow, so good of you to see me.
How do you do?
Oh, you're surprised to see a lady report, I know. Everyone is. And yet, why not? What could be more natural?
What indeed? Pray sit down.
Well, thank you. My paper usually sends me out on stories which have a special appeal to women. Stories with a little heart, you know. Like this one. A father's fight for his little boy's honour.
I venture to think this case has rather wider implications than that.
Oh, yes, the political angle, I know. Very interesting, but not quite my line of country. Where is your little boy?
My son is arriving from school in a few minutes. His mother has gone to the station to meet him.
From school? How interesting. So you got a school to take him? I mean, they didn't mind the unpleasantness.
No.
And why is he coming back this time?
He hasn't been expelled again, if that is what you are implying.
Oh.
He is coming to London to be examined by Sir Robert Morton, whom we are hoping to brief.
Sir Robert Morton? Well.
I understand that he's the best advocate in the country. He is certainly the most expensive.
Oh, yes. I suppose if one is prepared to pay his fee, one can get him for almost any case.
Madam, this is not almost any case.
No, of course not. Well, now, perhaps you wouldn't mind giving me a few details. When did it all start?
9 months ago.
9 months ago.
The first I knew of the charge was when my son arrived home with a letter from the Admiralty informing me of his expulsion. I telephoned Osborne to protest and was referred by them to the Lords of the Admiralty. My solicitors then took the matter up and demanded from the Admiralty the fullest possible inquiry. For weeks, we were ignored. then met with a blank refusal, and only finally got reluctant permission to view the evidence.
Really?
My solicitors decided that the evidence was highly unsatisfactory and fully justified the reopening of proceedings. We applied to the Admiralty for a court-martial. They ignored us. We applied for a civil trial. They ignored us again.
They ignored you?
Yes. But after tremendous pressure had been brought to bear, letters to the papers, questions in the House, and other means open to private citizens of the country, the Admiralty eventually agreed to what they called an independent inquiry.
Very good.
It was not good, madam. But that independent inquiry, conducted by the judge advocate of the fleet, against whom I am saying nothing, mind you, my son, a child of 14, was not represented by counsel, solicitors, or friends.
Oh. And what happened at the inquiry?
Well, what do you think happened? Inevitably, he was found guilty again and thus branded for the second time before the world as a thief and a forger.
What a shame.
I need hardly tell you, madam, that I am not prepared to let the matter rest there. I shall continue to fight this monstrous injustice with every weapon and every means at my disposal. Now, it happens I have a plan.
Oh.
What?
What charming curtains. What are they made of?
Madam, I fear I have no idea.
Your father will be in the room. Ah, do I hear the poor little chap himself?
Dear God.
Hello, Father.
Hello, Ronnie.
I say, Father, Mr. Moore says I'm to tell you I needn't come back until Monday, if you like. So that gives me three whole days.
Mind my legs.
Oh, sorry, Father.
How are you, my boy?
Oh, I'm absolutely top hole, Father. Mother says I've grown an inch.
Grace, dear, this lady is from the Daily News. She is extremely interested in your curtains.
Oh, yes, really? How nice.
I was wondering what they were made of.
Well, it's an entirely new material, you know. I'm afraid I don't know what it's called, but I got them at Barker's last year. Apparently it's a sort of mixture of wild silk.
Just a second, Mrs. Winsley. I'm afraid my shorthand
isn't very good. I must just get that down. Wild silk.
Father, are we going to be in the Daily News?
It appears so.
Oh, good. Well, they get the Daily News in the school library, so everyone's bound to see it.
Goodbye, Mr. Winslow. And the very best of good fortune in your inspiring fight. Goodbye, little chap. Remember, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Oh, just look at him. You're going to be a very famous little boy now, aren't you? The Winslow boy. Oh, that's it. The Winslow boy.
Do let me see you out.
Oh, yes, of course. It's my headline. The Winslow boy.
What's she talking about?
The case, I imagine.
Oh, the case. Father, do you know the train had 14 coaches?
Did it, indeed?
Yes, all corridor.
Remarkable. I had your half-turn report, Ronnie.
Oh, yes?
On the whole, it was pretty fair.
Oh, good.
I'm glad you seem to be settling down so well. Very glad indeed.
What a charming woman, Arthur.
Charming? I trust you gave her full details about our curtains.
Oh, yes, I told her everything.
I'm so glad.
I do think women reporters are a good idea.
I say, Father, will it be all right for me to stay till Monday? I mean, I won't be missing any work, only divinity.
Oh, mind my leg.
Oh, sorry, Father. Is it bad?
Yes, it is. Grace, take him upstairs and get him washed. Sir Robert will be here in a few minutes.
Come on, darling.
All right. Violet! Violet, I'm back!
Oh, my dear.
Did the doctor say anything?
A great deal, but very little to the purpose.
Well, Ronnie is back, judging by the noise. Oh, I must say that old clock has come out very well. John will never know that it isn't brand new.
He's late, curse him.
Grace, go on up and attend to Ronnie.
Oh, very well, dear.
Oh. Kate. Are we both mad, you and I?
What's the matter, Father?
I don't know. I suddenly feel suicidally inclined. A father's fight for his little boy's honour. Special appeal to all women. A description of Mrs. Winslow's curtains. The Winslow boy. Is there any hope for the world?
I think so, Father.
Shall we drop the whole thing, Kate?
I don't consider that a serious question, Father.
You realize that if we go on, your marriage settlement must go?
Oh, yes. I gave that up for lost weeks ago.
Things are all right between you and John, aren't they?
Oh, yes, Father, of course. Everything's perfect.
I mean, it won't make any difference between you, will it?
Good heavens, no.
Very well, then. Let us pin our faith to Sir Robert Morton. I see I'm speaking only for myself in saying that.
You know what I think of Sir Robert Morton, Father? Don't let's go into it again now. It's too late, anyway.
It's not too late. He hasn't accepted the brief yet.
Then I'm rather afraid I hope he never does. And that has nothing to do with my marriage settlement, either.
I made inquiries about that fellow you suggested. Mm-hmm. I'm told he's not nearly as good an advocate as Morton.
Well, he's not nearly so fashionable.
I want the best.
The best in this case certainly isn't Morton.
Then why does everyone say he is?
Because if one happens to be a large monopoly attacking a trade union, or a Tory paper libelling a Labour leader, he is the best. But it utterly defeats me how you or anybody else could expect a man of his record to have even a tenth of his heart in a case where the boot is entirely on the other foot.
Well, I believe you are prejudiced because he spoke against women's suffrage.
I am. I'm prejudiced because he's always speaking against what is right and just. Did you read his speech in the House on the Trades Disputes Bill?
Arthur, could you come up a moment?
Oh, well, in the words of the Prime Minister, let us wait and see. You're my only ally, Kate. Without you, I believe I should have given up long ago.
Oh, rubbish.
It's true. Still, you must sometimes allow me to make my own decisions. I have an instinct about Morton. We'll see which is right, my instinct or your reason, eh?
I'm afraid we will.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Dickie. What's the matter?
Haven't you heard? I'm to leave Oxford at the end of the year.
Oh, Dickie, I'm awfully sorry.
Did you know it was in the wind?
I knew there was a risk.
Well, you might have warned a fellow. My gosh, I could just about murder that little brother of mine. What did he have to go about pinching postal orders for? Why the hell does he have to get himself nabbed for it? Silly little blighter.
It's all right, Violet. It's only Mr. Weatherstone. I'll get it.
Very well, miss.
Catherine.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was expecting a friend.
May I introduce Sir Robert Morton, Miss Catherine Winslow?
How do you do?
Won't you come in, Sir Robert?
Thank you.
My father's upstairs. He won't be long.
Sir Robert has a most important dinner engagement, so we came a little early.
I see.
I'm afraid he can only spare us a very few minutes of his most valuable time this evening. Of course, it is a long way for him to come, and very good of him to do it, too.
I know. I can assure you we're very conscious of it.
Yes, but perhaps I had better advise your father of our presence.
Yes, do, Desmond. Won't you come through to the drawing room?
Thank you.
Do sit down, Sir Robert.
Thank you.
Is there anything I can get you? A whiskey and soda or a brandy?
No, thank you.
At what time are you dining?
8 o'clock.
Far from here?
Devonshire House.
Oh, then of course you mustn't on any account be late.
No.
I suppose you know the history of this case, do you, Sir Robert?
I believe I have seen most of the relevant documents.
I'm rather surprised that a case of this sort should interest you.
Are you?
It seems such a very trivial affair compared to most of your great forensic triumphs. I was in court during your cross-examination of Len Rogers in the trades union embezzlement case.
Really?
It was masterly.
Thank you.
I suppose you heard that he committed suicide a few months ago?
Yes, I had heard.
Many people believed him innocent, you know.
So I understand. As it happens, however, he was guilty.
Sir Robert, yes. I am Arthur Winslow.
How do you do, sir?
My wife.
How do you do, Mrs. Winslow?
Sir Robert is dining at Devonshire House, Mother.
Oh, really? Oh, then you have to be punctual. Of course, I do see that. It's the politeness of princes, isn't it?
So they say.
Oh, in this case, the other way round, of course.
My son will be down in a minute. I expect you will wish to examine him.
No, just a few questions. I fear that's all I will have time for this evening.
I'm rather sorry to hear that. He has made the journey especially from school for this interview, and I was hoping, by the end of it, I should know definitely yes or no if you would accept the brief.
If a further examination should prove necessary, it will have to be sometime next week.
I see. Will you forgive me if I sit down?
Of course.
Carrie has been telling me you think it might be possible to proceed by petition of right.
What's a petition of right?
Well, granting the assumption that the Admiralty as the Crown can do no wrong.
I thought that was exactly the assumption we refused to grant.
In law, I mean. Now, a subject can sue the Crown, nevertheless, by petition of right, redress being granted as a matter of grace, and the custom is for the Attorney General, on behalf of the King, to endorse the petition and allow the case to come into court.
It is interesting to note that the exact words he uses on such occasions are, "Let right be done."
Let right be done. I like that phrase, sir.
Yes, it has a certain ring about it, has it not? Let right be done.
This is my son, Ronald. Ronnie, this is Sir Robert Morton.
How do you do, sir?
He is going to ask you a few questions. You must answer them all truthfully, as you always have. I expect you would like us to leave.
No, provided, of course, that you don't interrupt. Would you all please sit down? And, Ronald, will you stand at the table facing me?
Yes, sir.
That's right. Now, how old are you?
14 and 7 months.
You were then 13 and 10 months old when you left Osborne, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, I would like you to cast your mind back to July the 7th of last year. Will you tell me, in your own words, exactly what happened to you on that day?
All right. Well, it was half holiday, so we didn't have any work after dinner.
Dinner at 1 o'clock?
Yes. At least until prep at 7.
Prep at 7.
Just before dinner, I went to the chief petty officer and asked him to let me have 15 and 6 out of what I had in the college bank.
Why did you do that?
I wanted to buy an air pistol.
Which cost 15 and 6?
Yes, sir.
And how much money did you have in the college bank at the time?
£2.03.
So you see, sir, what incentive could there possibly be for him to steal 5 shillings?
I must ask you to be good enough not to interrupt me, sir. After you had withdrawn the 15 and 6, what did you do?
I had dinner.
Then what?
I went to the locker room and put the 15 and 6 in my locker.
Yes. Then?
I went to get permission to go down to the post office. Then I went to the locker room again, got out my money, and went down to the post office.
I see. Go on.
I bought my postal order.
For 15 and 6?
Yes. Then I went back to college. Then I met Elliot Miner, and he said, "I say, isn't it rot? Someone's broken into my locker and pinched a postal order. I reported it to the PO.
Those were Elliot Miner's exact words?
He might have used another word for rot.
I see. Continue.
Well, then just before prep, I was told to go along and see Commander Flower. The woman from the post office was there, and the commander said, "Is this the boy?" And she said, "It might be. I can't be sure. They all look so much alike."
You see, she couldn't identify him. I'm sorry.
Go on.
Well, then she said, "I only know that the boy who bought a postal order for 15 and 6 was the same boy that cashed one for 5 shillings. So the commander said, "Did you buy a postal order for 15 and 6? And I said, "Yes." And then they made me write Elliot Miner's name on an envelope and compared it to the signature on the postal order. Then they sent me to the sanatorium, and 10 days later I was sacked. I mean, expelled.
I see. Did you cash a postal order belonging to Elliot Miner for 5 shillings?
No, sir.
Did you break into his locker and steal it?
No, sir.
And that is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Right. When the commander asked you to write Elliot's name on an envelope, how did you write it, with Christian name or initials?
I wrote Charles K. Elliot.
Charles K. Elliot. What made you choose that particular form?
That was the way he usually signed his name.
How did you know?
Well, he was a great friend of mine.
That is no answer. How did you know?
I'd seen him sign things.
What things?
Ordinary things.
I repeat, what things?
Bits of paper.
Bits of paper? Why did he sign his name on bits of paper?
I don't know.
You do know? Why did he sign his name on bits of paper?
He was practicing his signature.
And you saw him?
Yes.
Did he know you saw him?
Well, yes.
In other words, he showed you exactly how he wrote his signature.
Yes, I suppose he did.
Did you practice writing it yourself?
I might have done.
What do you mean, you might have done? Did you or did you not?
Yes.
Ronnie, you never told me that.
Well, it was only for a joke.
Never mind whether it was for a joke or not. The fact is, you practiced forging Elliot's signature.
It wasn't forging.
What do you call it, then?
Writing.
Very well. Writing. Whoever stole the postal order and cashed it also wrote Elliot's signature, didn't he?
Yes.
And oddly enough, in the exact form in which you had earlier been practicing writing Elliot's signature.
I say, which side are you on?
Don't be impertinent. Are you aware
that the Admiralty sent up the forged postal order to Mr. Ridgely Pierce, the greatest handwriting expert in England?
Yes.
And you know that Mr. Ridgely Pierce affirmed that there was no doubt whatever that the signature on the postal order and the signature you wrote on the envelope were by one and the same hand?
Yes.
And you still say that you did not forge that signature?
Yes, I do.
In other words, Mr. Ridgely Pierce doesn't know his job?
Well, he's wrong anyway.
When you went to the locker room after dinner, were you alone?
I don't remember.
I think you do. Were you alone in the locker room?
Yes.
And you knew which was Elliot's locker?
Yes, of course.
Why did you go there at all?
I've told you to put my 15 and 6 away.
Why?
I thought it would be safer.
Why safer than in your pocket?
I don't know.
You had it in your pocket at dinner time. Why the sudden fear for its safety?
I tell you, I don't know.
Was it because you knew you would be alone in the locker room at that time?
No.
Where was Elliot's locker in relation to yours?
Next to it but one.
Next but one. What time did Elliot put his postal order in his locker?
I don't know. I didn't even know he had a postal order in his locker. I didn't know he had a postal order at all.
Did you see? He was a great friend of yours.
He didn't tell me he had
How
one.
How very secretive of him. What time did you go to the locker room?
I don't remember.
Was it directly after dinner?
Yes, I think so.
Or what did you do after leaving the locker room?
I've told you I went for permission to go to the post
office. What time was that?
About 2:15.
Dinner is over at 2:45. Which means that you were in the locker room for half an hour.
Well, I wasn't there all that time.
How long were you there?
About 5 minutes.
What were you doing for the other 25?
Perhaps I waited outside the CO's office.
Perhaps you waited outside the CO's office. Perhaps no one saw you there either.
No, I don't think they did.
What were you thinking about outside the CO's office for 25 minutes?
Well, I don't even know if I was there. I can't remember. Perhaps I wasn't there at all.
No, perhaps you were still in the locker room, rifling Elliot's locker.
Sir Robert, I must go.
Quiet!
I remember now, I remember. Someone did see me outside the CO's office. A chap called Casey, I remember. I spoke to him.
What did you say?
I said, come down to the post office with me. I'm going to cash a postal order.
Cash? A postal order?
I mean get.
You said cash. Why did you say cash if
oh,
you
I
meant get?
I don't know.
I suggest cash was the truth.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't really. You're muddling me.
You seem easily muddled. How many other lies have you told?
None, really.
I suggest your entire testimony is a lie.
No, it's the truth.
I suggest there is barely one single word of truth in anything you have said, either to me or to the judge advocate or to the commander. I suggest that you broke into Elliot's locker, that you stole the postal order for 5 shillings belonging to Elliot, that you cashed it by means of forging his name.
I didn't.
I suggest that you did it for a joke, meaning to give Elliot the 5 shillings back, but when you met him and he said he had reported the matter, you got frightened and decided to keep
quiet. No, it isn't true.
And I suggest that by continuing to deny your guilt, you are causing great hardship to your own family and considerable annoyance to high and important persons in this country.
That's a disgraceful thing to say.
I suggest that the time has at last come for you to undo some of the misery you have caused by confessing to us all now that you are a forger, a liar, and a thief.
I'm not, I didn't do it.
Oh, this is outrageous.
Can I drop you anywhere, Carrie? My car is at the door.
No, I thank you.
Well, send all this stuff round to my chambers tomorrow morning, will you?
But will you need it now?
Need it? Oh, yes. The boy is plainly innocent. I accept the brief. Good night.
The Admiralty, during the whole of this long drawn out dispute, have at no time acted harshly or ill advisedly. And it is a matter of mere histrionic hyperbole for the Right Honourable and Learned Gentleman opposite to characterize the conduct of my department as that of callousness so inhuman as to amount to deliberate malice towards the boy Winslow. Such unfounded accusations I can well choose to ignore.
You can't! Yes,
the chief point of the criticism against the Admiralty appears to center in the purely legal question of the petition of right brought by Mr. Arthur Winslow and the Admiralty's demurrer thereto. The Right Honourable Gentleman opposite has made great play with his eloquent reference to the liberty of the individual, menaced, as he puts it, by the new despotism of bureaucracy. I was as moved as any honourable member opposite by his resonant use of the words, let right be done. Nevertheless, the matter is not nearly as simple as he appears to imagine. Cadet Ronald Winslow was a servant of the Crown and has, therefore, no more right than any other members of His Majesty's forces to sue the Crown in open court. To allow him to do so would undoubtedly raise the most dangerous precedents. There is no doubt whatever in my mind that in certain cases,
private rights may have to be sacrificed for the public good. I trust my reading isn't keeping you awake, Ronnie.
Oh, my poor sleepy little lamb. It's long past his bedtime, Arthur.
Ronnie!
Oh. Yes, Father?
I was reading the account of the debate. Would you like to listen, or would you rather go to bed?
Oh, I'd like to listen, of course, Father. I was listening, too, only I had my eyes shut.
Oh, but he'd be much more comfy in his little bed.
I dare say, but the debate continues until it's ended. The cause of it all will certainly not make himself comfy in his little bed.
There are three more reporters in the hall, so I want to see you very urgently. Shall I let them in?
No, certainly not. I issued a statement yesterday. Until the debate is over, I have nothing more to say.
Yes, sir. That's what I told them, but they wouldn't go.
Well, make them. Use force if necessary.
Yes, sir. And shall I cut some sandwiches for Miss Catherine, as she's missed her dinner?
Oh, yes, Violet. Good idea, thank you.
It's no good. No more statements.
Grace, dear.
Yes?
I fancy this might be a good opportunity of talking to Violet.
No, dear.
Meaning that it isn't a good opportunity, or meaning that you have no intention at all of ever talking to Violet?
Yes, I'll do it one day, Arthur. Tomorrow, perhaps, but not now.
I believe you'd do better to grasp the nettle. Delay only adds to your worries.
My worries? What do you know about my worries?
A good deal, Grace, but I feel they would be a lot lessened if you faced the situation squarely.
It's easy for you to talk, Arthur. You don't have to do it. It's a brutal thing to do.
Facts are brutal things.
Facts? I don't think I know what facts are anymore.
The facts at this moment are that we have half of the income we had a year ago, and we are living at nearly the same rate. However, you look at that, it's bad economics.
I'm not talking about economics, Arthur. I'm talking about ordinary common or garden facts. Things we took for granted a year ago and which now don't seem to matter anymore.
Such as?
Such as a happy home and peace and quiet and an ordinary, respectable life and some sort of future for us and our children. In the last year, you've thrown all that overboard, Arthur. I can only pray to God that you know what you're doing.
I know exactly what I'm doing, Grace. I'm going to publish my son's innocence before the world. And for that end, I am not prepared to weigh the cost.
Oh, I wish I could see the sense of it all. Look at him. He's perfectly happy at a good school, doing very well. No one need ever have known about Osborne if you hadn't gone and shouted it out to the whole world. And when he's grown up, he won't thank you for it, Arthur. Even though you've given your life to publish his innocence, as you call it. You're destroying yourself, Arthur, and me and your family beside, and for what, I'd like to know. I've asked you and Kate to tell me 100 times, but you never will. For what, Arthur?
For justice, Grace.
For justice? That sounds very noble. Are you sure it's true? Are you sure it isn't just plain pride and self-importance and sheer brute stubbornness?
No, Grace, I don't think it is. I really don't think it is.
No. This time I'm not going to cry and say I'm sorry and make it all up again. I can stand anything if there's a reason for it. But for no reason at all, it's unfair to ask so much of me. It's unfair.
Grace.
No, it's no good.
Oh, what's the matter, Father?
Your mother is a little upset.
Why? Aren't things going well?
Oh, yes. Very well. Very well indeed. You'd better go to bed now, Ronnie. You'll be more comfortable.
Oh, righto, Father.
Good night, my dear boy.
Good night, Father. Good night, Violet.
Good night, Master Ronnie. Some sandwiches for Miss Kate, sir.
Thank you, Violet.
And a letter for you, sir.
Thank you. Oh, Violet.
Yes, sir?
How long have you been with us?
24 years come April, sir.
As long as that?
Yes, sir. Miss Kate was only that high when I first came, and Mr. Dickey hadn't even been thought of.
I remember you coming to us now. I remember it well. What do you think of this case, Violet?
A fine old rumpus, that is, and no mistake.
It is, isn't it? A fine old rumpus.
And when you think it's all because of our master, Ronnie, I have to laugh about it sometimes. I really do. Well, would that be all, sir?
Yes, Violet, that will be all.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Violet. Hello, Father.
What's happened, Kate? Is the debate over?
As good as. Whew. The First Lord gave an assurance that in future there'd be no inquiry at Osborne or Dartmouth without informing the parents first. That seemed to satisfy most members.
Yeah, but what about our case? Is he going to allow us a fair trial?
Apparently not.
But that's iniquitous. But didn't Sir Robert make any protest when the First Lord refused a trial?
Not a verbal protest. Something far more spectacular and dramatic. He'd had his feet on the Treasury table and his hat over his eyes during most of the First Lord's speech, and he suddenly got up very deliberately, glared at the First Lord, threw a whole bundle of notes on the floor and stalked out of the house. It made a magnificent effect. If I hadn't known, I could have sworn he was genuinely indignant. Ooh, were those sandwiches for me?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Ooh. Don't you fool yourself about him, Father, for all that. The man's a fish. A hard, cold-blooded, supercilious, sneering fish. Mm.
Sir Robert Morton.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Oh, something gone down the wrong way.
Yes.
May I assist?
Oh, thank you.
Good evening, sir. I thought I would call and give you an account of the day's proceedings, but I see your daughter has forestalled me.
Did you know I was in the gallery?
With such a charming hat, how could I have missed you?
Please, sit down, sir.
Thank you very much indeed.
Will you betray a technical secret, Sir Robert? What happened in that first examination to make you so sure of Ronnie's innocence?
Three things. First of all, he made far too many damaging admissions. A guilty person would have been much more careful, on his guard. Secondly, I laid him a trap. Thirdly, I left him a loophole. Anyone who was guilty would have fallen into the one and darted through the other. He did neither.
The trap was to ask him suddenly what time Elliot put the postal order in his locker, wasn't it?
Yes.
And the loophole?
I then suggested to him that he had stolen the postal order for a joke, which, had he been guilty, he would surely have admitted to, as being the lesser of two evils.
I see. It was very cleverly thought out.
Thank you.
May we offer you some refreshment, Sir Robert? A whiskey and soda?
No, thank you. Nothing at all.
My daughter has told me of your demonstration during the First Lord's speech. She described it as magnificent.
Did she? That was very good of her. It's a very old trick, you know. I've done it many times in the courts. It's nearly always surprisingly effective. Or was the First Lord at all put out by it, did you notice?
How could he have failed to be? I wish you could have seen it, Father. It was... When did this letter come?
A few minutes ago. Do you know the right?
Yes.
Whose is it?
I shouldn't bother to read it if I were you.
All the same, I will. Will you forgive me, sir?
Of course.
Well, what do you think the next step should be?
I have already been considering that, Miss Winslow. I believe that perhaps the best plan would be to renew our efforts to get the Director of Public Prosecutions to act.
Father?
What?
We were discussing how to proceed with the case, sir.
The case? Yes, we must think of that, mustn't we? How to proceed with the case. I'm afraid I don't think... All things considered, that much purpose would be served by going on.
What?
Show me that letter, Father. Thank you.
Of course we must go on.
It is not for you to choose, sir. The choice is mine.
Then you must reconsider it. Why give up? Why, in heaven's name, man, why?
I have made many sacrifices for this case. Some of them I had no right to make, but I made them nonetheless. Well, there is a limit, and I have reached it. I'm sorry, Sir Robert. More sorry, perhaps, than you are, but the Winslow case is now closed.
Balderdash!
Sir.
My father doesn't mean what he says, Sir Robert.
I am very glad to hear it.
Perhaps I should explain this letter.
No, Kate.
Sir Robert knows so much about our family affairs, Father, I don't see it will matter much if he learns a little more. This letter is from a certain Colonel Weatherstone, who is the father of the man I'm engaged to. We've always known he was opposed to the case, so it really comes as no surprise. In it, he says that our efforts to discredit the Admiralty in the House of Commons today have resulted merely in our making the name of Winslow a nationwide laughingstock. I think that's his phrase. Yes, that's right. A nationwide laughingstock.
I don't care for his English.
It's not very good, is it? He goes on to say that unless my father will give him a firm undertaking to drop this whining and reckless agitation, I suppose he means the case, he will exert every bit of influence he has over his son to prevent him marrying me.
I see, an ultimatum.
Yes, but a pointless one.
Well, sir?
I'm afraid I can't go back on what I have already said.
Your daughter seems prepared to take the risk.
I am not. Not, at least, until I know how great a risk it is.
How do you estimate the risk, Miss Winslow?
Negligible.
I see. I really must apologize to you, sir, for speaking to you as I did just now. It was unforgivable.
Not at all, sir. You were upset at giving up the case, and to be frank, I like you for it.
Ah, it has been rather a tiring day. The House of Commons is a peculiarly exhausting place, you know. Too little ventilation, far too much hot air. I really am most truly sorry.
Please.
Of course, you must decide about the case as you wish. That really is a most charming hat, Miss Winslow.
I'm glad you like it.
It seems decidedly wrong to me that a lady of your political persuasion should be allowed to adorn herself with such a very feminine allurement. It really looks so awfully like trying to have the best of both worlds.
Well, I'm not a militant, you know, Sir Robert. I don't go about breaking shop windows with a hammer or pouring acid down pillar boxes.
I am truly glad to hear it. Both those activities would be highly unsuitable in that hat.
Mr. Weatherstone is in the hall, miss. Says he would like to have a word with you in private, most particular.
Oh, I'll come out to him. Would you excuse me, please?
But of course.
Hello, John.
Catherine.
Yes?
My father's written your father a letter.
I know. I've read it.
Oh.
Did you?
Yes, he showed it to me. Well, what's his answer?
My father? I don't suppose he'll send one.
You think he'll ignore it?
Well, isn't that the best answer to blackmail?
It was damned high-handed of the old man, I admit.
High-handed?
I tried to get him not to send it.
Oh, I'm glad.
The trouble is, he's perfectly serious.
I never thought he wasn't.
If your father does decide to go on with the case, I'm very much afraid he'll do everything he threatens.
Forbid the match?
Yes.
Isn't that rather an empty threat, John?
Well, there's always the allowance.
The allowance. Yes, I see.
Dash it all, I can't even live on my pay as it is, but with the two of us...
I've heard it said that two can live as cheaply as one.
Don't you believe it? Well, this is the way I see it. I'm going to be honest now, I hope you don't mind.
No, no, I should welcome it.
Your younger brother pinches...
Oh, please.
Well, or doesn't pinch, a five-bob postal order. For over a year, you and your father fight a magnificent fight on his behalf, and I'm sure everyone admires you for it. But now look, you've had two inquiries, the petition of right case, which the Admiralty had thrown out of court, and the appeal. And now, good heavens, you've had the whole damned House of Commons getting themselves worked up into a frenzy about it. Surely, darling, that's enough for you? My God, surely the case can end there.
Yes, I suppose the case can end there, but Ronnie's innocence or guilt aren't important to me. They are to my father, but not to me. All that I care about is that people should know that a government department has ignored a fundamental human right and that it should be forced to acknowledge it.
Well, now, look. There's a European war blowing up, there's a coal strike on, there's a fair chance of civil war in Ireland, and there's 101 other things on the horizon at the moment that I think you genuinely could call important. And yet, with all that on its mind, the House of Commons takes a whole day to discuss the Winslow boy and his bally postal order. Surely you must see that that is a little out of proportion.
All I know is, John, that if ever the time comes that the House of Commons has so much on its mind that it can't find time to discuss a Ronnie Winslow and his bally postal order, this country will be a far poorer place than it is now.
I don't know whether you realise that all this publicity you're getting is making the name of Winslow a bit of a...
A nationwide laughingstock, your father said.
Well, that is putting it a bit steep. But people do find the case a bit ridiculous, you know.
Yes, I see. Do you still want to marry me, John?
What?
I said, do you still want to marry me?
Well, of course I do. You know I do. We've been engaged for over a year now.
Even if we gave up the case, would you still want to marry the Winslow girl?
All that would blow over in no time.
And we'd have the allowance?
Yes, we would.
And that's so important.
It is, darling. I'm sorry, but you can't shame me into saying it isn't.
I didn't mean to shame
you. Oh, yes, you did. I know that tone of voice.
I'm sorry.
Well, now, what's the answer?
I love you, John, and I want to be your wife.
Well, then, that's all I want to know. Darling, I was sure nothing so stupid and trivial could possibly come between us.
Excuse me, John.
Hello. Yes, will you wait a moment? Sir Robert, someone wants you on the telephone.
Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
No, you didn't. We'd finished our talk.
Hello? Yes, Mario.
Good evening, John.
F.E. I didn't know he was going to speak. I see. A dog. Thank you, Michael. There has been the most interesting development in the house, sir.
What?
My secretary tells me that a barrister friend of mine, who, quite unknown to me, was interested in the case, got to his feet shortly after 9:30 and delivered one of the most scathing denunciations of a government department ever heard in the house. What a shame we missed it, Miss Winslow. His style is quite superb.
What happened?
Well, the debate revived, of course, and the First Lord, who must have felt himself fairly safe, suddenly found himself under attack from all parts of the house. It appears that rather than risk a division, he has this moment given an undertaking that he will instruct the Attorney General to endorse our petition of right. The case of Winslow versus Ricks can now, therefore, come to court. Well, sir, what are my instructions?
The decision is no longer mine, sir. You must ask my daughter.
What are my instructions, Miss Winslow?
Well, Catherine?
Do you need my instructions, Sir Robert? Aren't they already on the petition? Doesn't it say, let right be done?
Kate. Good night.
Well, then, we must endeavor to see that right is done.
No, I'm terribly sorry. I can't hear a thing. I've been reading.
Thank you very much.
I must be
sorry. Baba! Violet! Anyone about?
Oh, hello, darling. Oh. When did you get here? Well, everyone out. Here, dinner. Oh, I like your new suit.
That's a straight from Reading Savile Row. Off the peg at 3.5 guineas. I say, does that phone go on all the time?
All the blessed day. The last 4 days, it simply hasn't stopped.
I had to fight my way in through an army of reporters and people.
Yes, I know. You didn't say anything, I hope, Dickie dear. It's better not to say a word.
Oh, I don't think I said anything much. Oh, yes, I did say that I personally thought he did it.
Dickie,
but
you didn't.
Ha-ha.
Oh, I see. It's a joke. You mustn't say things like that, even in fun, Dickie dear.
How's it all going?
I don't know. I've been there all 4 days now, and I've hardly understood a word that's going on. Kate says the judge is against us, but he seems a charming old gentleman to me. Sir Robert's so rude to him. Oh. Nobody in. Arthur! Lunch! I'll come straight up. Dickie's here.
Good.
Kate takes the morning session, and then she comes home and relieves me with your father, and I go to the court in the afternoon, so you can come with me as soon as she's in.
How did Ronnie get on in the witness box?
Oh, 2 days he was cross-examined. 2 whole days. Imagine it, the poor little pet. I must say he didn't seem to mind much. He said 2 days with the Attorney General wasn't nearly as bad as 2 minutes with Sir Robert. Kate says he made a very good impression with the jury.
Yes, how is Kate, Mother?
Oh, all right. You heard about John, I suppose?
Yes, that's what I meant. How has she taken it?
You can never tell with Kate. She never lets you know what she's feeling. We all think he behaved very badly. Mm. Oh, Arthur, you shouldn't have come down the stairs by yourself.
I had little alternative.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I was talking to Dickie.
How are you, Dickie?
Very well, thank you, Father.
You look very well. A trifle thinner, perhaps.
Hard work, Father.
Or late hours.
You can't keep late hours in Reading.
You can keep late hours anywhere. I've had quite a good report about you from Mr. Lamb. He tells me that you've joined the Territorials.
Yes, Father.
Why have you done that?
Well, from all accounts, there's a fair chance of a bit of a scrap quite soon. If there is, I don't want it to be all over before I can get in on it.
If there is what you call a scrap, you'll do far better to stay in the bank. Catherine's late. She was in at 1:30 yesterday.
Well, perhaps they're taking a lunch interval later today.
Ah. And did you say my lunch was ready?
Yes, dear. It's only cold. I did the salad myself. Violet and Cook are at the trial.
Is Violet still with you? She was under sentence last time I saw you.
She's been under sentence for the last 6 months, poor thing. Mm. Only she doesn't know it. Neither your father nor I have the courage to tell her.
I have the courage to tell her.
It's funny that you don't, then, dear.
I will.
No. You mustn't. When it's to be done, I'll do it.
You see, Dickie, these taunts of cowardice are daily flung at my head. But should I take them up, I'm forbidden to move in the matter. Such is the logic of women.
Now, eat your lunch. Don't peck at it.
How is he?
Not too well, I'm afraid.
Will you take him away after the trial?
He's promised to go into a nursing home.
Do you think he will?
Oh, how do I know? He'll probably find some new excuse.
But surely if he loses this time, he's lost the good, hasn't he?
So they say, Dickie dear. I can only hope it's true.
Well, how did you keep him away from the trial?
Kate and Sir Robert together. He wouldn't listen to me or the doctor.
Mm. Oh, Lord, the heat. Mother, can't you get rid of those reporters? Hello, Dickie.
Hello, Kate.
Come to be in at the death?
Is that what it's going to be?
Looks like it. I could cheerfully strangle that old brute of a judge, Mother. He's dead against us.
Oh, dear.
Sir Robert's very worried. He said the Attorney General's opening speech made a great impression on the jury. I must say it was very clever. To listen to him, you would have thought that a verdict for Ronnie would simultaneously cause a mutiny in the Royal Navy and triumphant jubilation in Berlin.
I think I shall come down to court today.
Now, Arthur, we go through this every day.
Father, you know what the doctor said.
Grace, I know that you do not agree with me, that you never have, but I think you'll admit that however the case may end, I have the right to be what you call in at the death.
Very well, dear.
Thank you, Grace. Shall we go?
Mrs. Betts, you are the postmistress at the Naval Academy at Osborne?
That is correct.
And you were on duty on the afternoon of June the 7th, 1912?
Yes, sir, I was.
Do you remember the accused cadet, Ronald Winslow, coming in to buy a postal order?
Yes, very well.
For what amount was that postal order?
15 and 6 pence.
And while you were making out his postal order, did you get a good look at him?
Very clearly, oh, yes, sir.
You were there all the time he was signing the postal order, were you not?
Well, not all the time, sir.
Oh.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was called to the telephone.
How long were you at the telephone?
Well, I don't remember. 2 or 3 minutes,
two
I suppose.
2 or 3 minutes? Well, in that case, you would not have had much time to observe Cadet Winslow, would you?
Well, I suppose not, really.
Later that day, you were called to the commander's office. You were unable positively to identify Cadet Winslow. Your exact words were, "I can't be sure they all look alike." Is that not so?
Yes.
Why did you say that?
Well, they do with their uniforms and all that.
I see. Might it not then quite easily have been another cadet who cashed the postal order for 5 shillings? Well...
Well, it might have been.
Thank you, Mrs. Beggs. No further questions.
Mrs. Beggs, I have only one question to ask you. Search your mind carefully. Are you absolutely positive that the same boy who bought the 15 and 6 postal order also cashed the one for 5 shillings?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Because Cadet Winslow was such a nice-looking little boy. I couldn't help noticing him.
No further questions. I would like to call Herbert Ridgely Pierce to the stand. And you were positive that the handwriting on that postal order was that of Ronald Winslow?
Quite positive.
Thank you.
Mr. Ridgely Pierce, you have been described as the greatest handwriting expert in England, have you not?
I believe I have, yes.
And I am sure quite correctly so described.
That's very good of you.
Not at all. It was your evidence that brought the poisoner Mason to justice, was it not?
Yes, it was.
And the forger Cartwright?
Yes.
One, if I remember, had a very distinctive way of writing his capital I's, did he not? Was that Mason?
No, it was Cartwright.
I stand.
Mason gave himself away by the letter J, which he forged with a very distinctive scribble. If you'll forgive so very untechnical an expression.
But, of course, in this matter, I'm necessarily very untechnical myself. Now, this squiggle was presumably habitual with Mason, was it not?
Certainly.
Over how long a period?
Oh, all his life.
Hardly all his life. He would hardly have been writing his J's with a squiggle at birth.
I meant all his adult life, of course.
All his adult life.
Well, since he learned to write.
You said adult life, Mr. Ridgely Pierce. I think that point is not without importance. What system did you use to identify the handwriting of the child, Ronald Winslow?
What system? My own, of course.
The Ridgely Pierce system.
That is what it is called.
The same system that you used to convict Mason and Cartwright.
Yes.
How old were they?
I can't remember.
One was 44, the other 63, am I right?
Yes, I've no doubt.
How often have you had to identify a child's handwriting?
Well, I...
This is the first time, is it not?
Yes. After all, children aren't often convicted of forgery.
Lord!
Sir Robert!
This child has not been convicted of forgery, Mr. Ridgely Pierce! And that for the last 2 years he has stood accused of it is due almost entirely to you and the Ridgely Pierce system, used until now on middle-aged murderers and elderly forgers. The Ridgely Pierce system. Now, this has, of course, been amended to cover the research work on children's handwriting done recently by Professor Schwarzbacher of Zurich.
By whom?
Professor Schwarzbacher of Zurich.
I never heard of him.
What? My lord, must I accept that?
It would seem so, Sir Robert.
That this great expert has never heard of Professor Schwarzbacher.
I've never heard of Professor Schwarzbacher.
Well, Dr. Sharp of Princeton.
I haven't heard of him either.
No doubt my learned friend will be asking leave to call these gentlemen in rebuttal.
I am not asking leave to call these gentlemen for the reason that I am not asking leave to call Isaac Newton to prove the law of gravity or Galileo to prove that the earth is round. That a handwriting expert so described should not even have heard of the work of the two most eminent scholars on the subject in the world.
That is not
proved.
I mean
the subject of the handwriting of children. Work that shows conclusively that children's handwriting must march hand in hand with the development of character, and that as a child of 13 can hardly be presumed to have...
Sir Robert, you are not supposed to be addressing the jury, but cross-examining the witness.
There seems little point in continuing to cross-examine this witness, my lord. The expert witness on the handwriting of children. However, Mr. Ridgely Pierce, when you were Ronald Winslow's age, if you can remember so many years ago, had you formed distinctive squiggles in your J's?
No.
Or in any other letter?
Ah, but then, you see, it's not just a question of...
Thank you, Mr. Ridgely Pierce. That is all.
Despite my learned friend's obscure references to certain impressively named authorities, Mr. Ridgely Pierce, have you still any doubt at all about that signature being in Ronald Winslow's handwriting?
None whatsoever.
Thank you. My lord, I'm sorry, but may I request a brief adjournment?
Certainly.
The court will rise.
Very clever, no doubt. But it didn't shake the jury.
I'm not so sure, Father. All right, Mother?
Yes, dear. I'll wait here. There's much more to look at than in that drafty waiting room.
Come along, Father.
I'm all right.
Catherine, may I speak to you for a moment?
Oh, of course, Desmond.
I'll wait in the visitor's room.
Shall we sit down? Kate!
How do you think it's going, Desmond?
Oh, pretty well. He is a strange man, Sir Robert. Time so cold and distant and...
Fish-like.
Fish-like, exactly. And yet he has a real passion about this case, a real passion. I happen to know, of course this must on no account go any further, but I happen to know that he has made a very, very great personal sacrifice in order to bring it to court.
Sacrifice?
Yes, he was... You really must promise to keep this to yourself, but he was offered...
What was he offered, Desmond?
The appointment of Lord Chief Justice. He turned it down simply in order to be able to carry on with the case of Winslow versus Rex. Strange are the ways of men, are they not?
Yes.
Kate, I have a question to put to you, which if I had postponed putting until after the verdict, you might, who knows, have thought had been prompted by pity if we had lost, or if we had won, your reply might have been influenced by gratitude. Do you follow me, Kate?
Yes, Desmond, I think I do.
Ah, then possibly you have some inkling of what the question is I have to put to you.
Yes, I think I have.
Ah.
I need hardly tell you how grateful I am, Desmond.
Oh, there's no need, Kate, no need at all. Forgive me, Kate, but you see, I know very well what your feelings for me really are.
You do?
Oh, yes, Kate. I know quite well they have never amounted to much more than sort of... Well, shall we say, friendliness? A warm friendliness, I hope. That's true, isn't it?
Yes, Desmond.
I know, I know. Of course, even if I proved the most devoted and adoring husband that ever lived, your feelings for me would never, could never amount to more than that. When I was a young man, it might perhaps have been a different story. Oh, when I played cricket for England... No, perhaps even that would not have made so much difference. Well, the athletic prowess is fading, I'm afraid. The years and the stiffening of the muscles. But my love for you will never fade.
That's very charmingly said, Desmond.
Don't make fun of me, Kate, please. I meant it, every word. No matter what you feel or don't feel for me, no matter what you feel for anybody else... I want you to be my wife.
I see. Thank you, Desmond. That makes everything much clearer. Will you give me a few days to think it over?
Oh, of course, of course. Oh, I must get back to court. Catherine.
Ah, Kate.
I've been a fool, Father.
Have you, my dear?
An utter fool.
In default of further information, I can only repeat, have you, my dear?
There can be no further information. I'm under a pledge of secrecy.
Oh. What did Desmond want?
To marry me.
I trust the folly you were referring to wasn't your acceptance of him.
No, Father. Would it be such folly, though?
Lunacy.
Well, I'm nearly 30. I shall have to think it over.
Think it over by all means, but decide against it. Better far to live and die an old maid than to marry Desmond.
Even an old maid must eat.
I am leaving you and your mother everything, you know.
Everything?
There is still a little left.
John's going to get married next month. It's a girl I know slightly. She'll make him a good wife.
Is he in love with her?
No more than he was with me. Perhaps even a little less.
Why is he marrying her so soon after...
After jilting me? Because he thinks there's going to be a war. If there is, his regiment will be among the first to go overseas. Besides, his father approves strongly. She's a general's daughter. Very, very suitable.
Poor Kate. How I've messed up your life, haven't I?
No, Father. Any messing up that's been done has been done by me.
I'm so sorry, Kate. I'm so sorry.
Don't be, Father. We both knew what we were doing. If you could go back and choose again, would your choice be different?
Perhaps.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I say again, we both knew what we were doing, and we were right to do it.
Dear Kate, thank you. So you aren't going to marry Desmond, are you?
In the words of the Prime Minister, Father, wait and see.
What's that?
It sounds as though... As it couldn't be, not yet.
Don't see.
Mother! Come through, my dear, I didn't know. I didn't understand what they meant until all the cheering started. And then the whole courtroom. Well, it was like an explosion. The cheering and screaming. And Dickie caught hold of my hand and he was crying. Yes. And I still couldn't take it in. And then I looked at Sir Robert and he was standing by the table with his wig on all crooked. And Arthur, the tears were running down his face and he couldn't speak because of the noise. And there were people climbing up over seats and trying to shake his hand. And some women caught hold of me and embraced me. And some of the people were yelling, "You good old Winslow," and singing for "He's a Jolly Good Fellow." Just for you, Arthur. Just for you.
It would appear that we won.
Oh, yes, darling. We won. The Attorney General conceded the case. Isn't that what they said, Dickie?
Oh, yes, Mother.
Arthur, I'm so very, very proud of you.
Kate, we've won.
Yes, Father.
God bless you, Father. Father, it is the reporters. I think I'll have a word with you outside.
What shall I say, Kate?
Oh, you'll think of something, Father.
Oh, Mr. Winslow. May we have a few words, please? Quickly,
please. What do you think about the outcome of the case? Just a brief statement.
Sir Robert.
Huh? Miss Winslow.
Thank you.
Well, well. Pity you were not in the court. The verdict appeared to cause quite a stir.
Why did the Attorney General throw up the case?
On instructions from his clients, the Lords of the Admiralty.
Why did they throw it up?
I would say in one word, shame.
Their lordships can feel shame.
Anyone can feel shame at having done a wrong, once that wrong has been made public. Obviously, perhaps they were a little worried about Mr. Ridgely Pierce.
Is there a Professor Schwarzbacher of Zurich?
Well, there must be, don't you think?
Sir Robert, I'm afraid I have a confession and an apology to make to
Dear
you.
Dear lady, I am sure the one is rash and the other superfluous. I would far rather hear neither.
I'm afraid you must. I have entirely misjudged your attitude to this case. And if in doing so I have ever seemed to you either rude or ungrateful, I am sincerely and humbly sorry.
My dear Miss Winslow, you have never seemed to me either rude or ungrateful. And my attitude to this case has been the same as yours. A determination to win at all costs. Only when you talk of gratitude, you must remember that those costs were not mine, but yours.
Haven't you too made a certain sacrifice for the case?
The robes of that office would not have suited me.
Wouldn't they?
I must ask you never to divulge it to another living soul, even to forget it yourself.
I shall never divulge it. I'm afraid I can't promise to forget it myself.
Very well. If you choose to endow an unimportant incident with a romantic significance, you are perfectly at liberty to do so. Now, I must go.
Why are you always at such pains to prevent people knowing the truth about you, Sir Robert?
Am I indeed?
You know you are. Why?
Perhaps because I do not know the truth about myself?
Well, that is no answer.
My dear Miss Winslow, are you cross-examining me?
On this point, yes. Why are you so ashamed of your emotions?
Because to fight a case on emotional grounds, Miss Winslow, is the surest way of losing it. Emotions muddy the issue. Cold, clear logic. Buckets of it should be the lawyer's only equipment.
Was it cold, clear logic that made you weep today at the verdict?
Your mother, of course, told you that. Oh, it doesn't matter. It'll be in the papers tomorrow anyway. Very well, then. If you must have it, here it is. I wept today because right had been done.
Not justice.
No, not justice. Right. It's easy to do justice. Very hard to do right. Unfortunately, while the appeal of justice is intellectual, the appeal of right appears for some odd reason to induce tears in court. That is my answer and my excuse. Now may I leave the witness box?
No. One last question. How can you reconcile your support of Winslow against the Crown with your political beliefs?
Very easily. No one party has a monopoly of concern for individual liberty. On that issue, all parties are united.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No, not all parties. Only some people from all parties.
That is a very wise remark. We can only hope, then, that those some people will always prove enough people. You would make a good advocate.
Oh, would I?
Yes. Why do you not canalize your feministic impulses towards the law courts, Miss Winslow, and abandon the lost cause of women's suffrage?
Because I don't believe it is a lost cause.
It's a pity. In the House of Commons, in days to come, I shall make a point of looking up at the gallery in the hope of catching a glimpse of you in that provocative hat.
One day, Sir Robert, but not in the gallery, across the floor.
Perhaps.
And finally, gentlemen, I could say that the victory is not mine, but the people's. They have triumphed, as they always will, over despotism. Does that strike you as a trifle pretentious?
Perhaps, sir.
Perhaps. I'd better say what I really feel, which is merely, thank God we beat them.
Yes, well, sir. Well, thank you, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Ronnie, where have you been?
Oh, I say, I'm most awfully sorry. I didn't know anything was going to happen.
Where were you?
I had the pictures.
Pictures? What is that?
The cinematograph show.
I'm most awfully sorry. I say, we won, didn't we, Sir Robert?
Oh, yes. We won.
Sir Robert, it's hard for me to find the words I should speak to you.
Pray do not trouble yourself to search for them, sir. Let us take these rather tiresome and conventional expressions of gratitude for granted, shall we? Oh, I thought you might like to hear the actual terms of the Attorney General's statement. So I jotted it down for you. I say now on behalf of the Admiralty that I accept the declaration of Ronald Arthur Winslow that he did not write the name on the postal order, that he did not take it, that he did not cash it, and that consequently he was innocent of the charge which was brought against him 2 years ago. I make that statement without any reservation of any description, intending it to be a complete acceptance of the boy's statements, sir. Now, on the question of damages and costs, I fear we are going to find the Admiralty rather niggardly. You are likely still to be left considerably out of pocket. However, doubtless we can apply a slight spur to the First Lord's posterior in the House of Commons.
And oh, please, sir. No more trouble, I beg. Let the matter rest here. This statement is all I have ever asked for. Right has been done.
The Winslow Boy by Terence Rattigan. Arthur Winslow was played by Michael Aldridge, Grace Winslow by Pauline Letts, Catherine Winslow by Sarah Bedell, Dickie Winslow by Michael Maloney, and Ronnie Winslow by John McAndrew. John Wotherston was played by David Timpson, Desmond Curry, Michael Spice, Miss Barnes, Margaret Robertson, and Violet by Peggy Page. The First Lord of the Admiralty was played by Patrick Barr, the Attorney General, Nicholas Courtney, Mrs. Beggs, Gladys Spencer, Herbert Ridgely Pierce, John Rye, and Sir Robert Morton by Aubrey Woods. The play was adapted from Terence Rattigan's stage and television scripts and was directed by Ian Cotterill.